Again, welcome to everyone listening on podcast, watching on YouTube, and on Facebook and Instagram, live or catch up. It's great to have our digital community with us as well. Praise God. Praise God. Again, welcome. Great to have you in. How many people here have ever done driving lessons and learned how to drive? If you have, can you put up your hand? You learned how to drive. Okay, so that is most of us. Some of the young people haven't, obviously. Well, one of the things you're going to have to learn in Ireland, if you want to know how to drive, is you have to learn how to do the three-point turn. So you're on a road, and you have to do, with the reversing and the car, turn around on the road in just three moves to go back in another direction. Some people do it in 16 moves and they fail. They fail their test. However, if you can do it in three, you pass. My mother kept failing her driving test because she couldn't do it. And I always remember as a kid, if my mother decided to turn around, she would go down a one-way street and all the cars would be coming and flashing and beeping, and we'd be crying as children saying, we're going to die. And my mother just thought rules were for other people. They really weren't for her. But I live to tell the tale. Hallelujah. Turning around is a great symbol or metaphor for repentance. Repentance isn't just about beginning your spiritual journey. It's an ongoing event in our Christian lives. For anyone who is spiritual and we take our faith seriously, can I submit, you wouldn't be in here on a sunny Sunday unless you took your faith seriously. We'll say amen.
Amen.
So I think I'm speaking to everyone here. Every now and again, we've got to say, I messed up there. Forgive me, Lord. We've got to repent, we've got to change our attitude, because we're human and we make mistakes. I want to look at that today and how sometimes we have trouble coming to that, but if we get it right, God will do wonderful things for us. He really will. But so easy to get it wrong. So I'm going to look at Judges 6, 1 to 12. Many of you will know it, but the context of it is in the Old Testament, the Israelites were the people of God, and they had had 40 years of peace and prosperity and blessing. But during those 40 years, they got lazy, lazy spiritually, and sin never leaps, it creeps. And the sin crept in, and they got lazy, and so they stopped studying scripture, didn't pray that often. It's a bit like us, we stop reading the Bible, we stop praying, we start skipping church, and before you know it, your heart is cold. And they did the same. And then, at the end, towards the end of those 40 years, they had idols in their life, something that's more important than the Lord. And so God had to reach out to them. And he did it in judgment, but it bought life. And it was good, but it began difficult. So that's what we're going to read. And we're just going to pray before we begin. And I'm going to ask you, you don't have to if you don't want to, but would you mind standing for the prayer, if you're up for that? And you know what I'm going to pray? That your mind and your heart and my heart, we'd have an open mind and a soft heart, not to me, to God. Is that okay to pray? So if you're up for it, would you put one hand on your head, one hand on your heart? Ah, go on. No one's going to laugh at you. We're all doing it. And so we ask you, God, as we hear your word, the Bible, here today, we pray our minds would be open to you. We'll say amen.
Amen.
And we pray our hearts would be open to you. Amen.
Amen.
And we ask you, God, you would feed and nourish our souls. Whatever is from you, I pray we'd never forget it.
Amen.
Whatever is from me, I pray that would be quickly forgotten.
Yes.
Father, send your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, sisters. So we're coming in the ancient land of Israel. There's always been a people who love God, but the people of God aren't in a great place. Here's what happened. the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord gave them up to the Midianites. They were cruel to the Israelites, so cruel that the Israelites started hiding in caves and on the mountains. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the enemy attacked them, camping on their land and destroying the harvest, even as far as Gaza, leaving them with nothing to eat and stealing all their livestock. The enemy were as thick as locusts, arriving on camels, too numerous to count, and stripping the land bare. So the Israelites were reduced to starvation. Then they cried out to the Lord for help. Because of this, God sent them a prophet, and he said to them, I delivered you from slavery in Egypt, and I gave you the promised land. I told you not to worship the gods of this land, but you didn't listen to me. Shortly after this, the angel of the Lord appeared to a man called Gideon, who was threshing wheat in a winepress. And the angel said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Is God with you?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This day he revealed himself to you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's have an openness in our hearts. Let's have a spiritual sensitivity. It's a bit like having an antenna. It's a bit like a mobile phone needs to have a broadcasting tower. We have to be sensitive. If God is moving here, let's be open. Let's be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit would say into our experience, into your situation. Hallelujah, because he's able. Church is meant to be alive, not dead. Hallelujah. We see that they did evil in the Lord's sight, and the Lord gave them up to the Midianites. This is a theme in the Bible. God just blesses his people. People get lazy. People drift away spiritually. And the Lord tries to whisper to them, talk to them. And as the Irish Christian author C.S. Lewis says, sometimes God has to shout to us in our pain. It's the only way he can get our attention. And so we meet a people called the Midianites, who were the enemy who attacked them. Who are these people? Because it's relevant for your life tonight and tomorrow, and to my life tonight and tomorrow. Who were these Midianites? Because everything in the Bible speaks to us. It is all the Word of God, and it feeds our soul. The word Midianite means strife or stress and judgment. That's what they were. They were a desert people coming from what is today Jordan, Saudi Arabia, that area. They were raiders. That's how they lived. They stole from others. They didn't produce anything themselves. They didn't grow their own crops. They stole from others. This is typical. Some people in this world only ever take.
Yep.
They never give. Yep. Many people are life givers, those who love God especially. But some people just take and take and take. And these guys were raiders, and this is really important. They were oppressors, not possessors. They didn't come and conquer the land. In later times, we see how, like, the Babylonians and so on, they came and they possessed the land of Israel. But here we see these guys would come and attack and then withdraw again. Attack and withdraw. Attack at the worst time and then withdraw. This is most Christians' experience. We don't have the evil one, the devil, the enemy, living in us. It's impossible for a genuine Christian, let's say in the unusual case of demons, it's impossible for a Christian to be possessed by a demon. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Because the Holy Spirit is in you.
Amen.
But sometimes he'll oppress us. come and go, come and go. And that's why we need to be wise, and we need to be forewarned, and we need to be victorious, because we know what God's word says. So this is along those lines. We're told straight away the results. The Midianites, the enemy, were so cruel to the Israelites that the Israelites started hiding in caves and on the mountains. I have met too many Christians over many decades who hid in their bedroom. People who couldn't get up and face the day, who pulled the duvet, the blanket, up over their head. They couldn't face the day. They were so afraid of what the world or what life would throw at them. They were like these poor Israelites hiding in a cave. Can I declare over you today, come out of the cave. Don't be hiding under the blankets. Don't believe the lie from the devil that would tell you you are not able. In our own strength, we're not able. I'm not able, but with God's strength, you know, that's a different story. If God is for you, finish the verse.
Who can be against you?
Okay, the rest of it is who can be against you. We're going to do that again, okay? If God is for you,
who can be against you?
Hallelujah. God is for you. Do you think he's not looking at you right now? You could be down in Garrettstown on the beach on a lovely sunny day, 22 degrees. But you're coming into the house of God. You are a prophetic statement today. By the way, if you're watching on Facebook on the beach, all you darlings on Instagram taking selfie, in the house of God. Plenty time for the beach later on. We are living in the Costa del Cork after all. Hallelujah. Come out of the cave. The cave is not your future. But the people of God were reduced to that because of fear. Fear is like cancer. It cripples us. And we start fearing the boss. Or we start fearing our neighbor. Or we start fearing someone in the family. Or we start fearing getting sick. And you know what? When he comes in the door, fear, guess what? He never comes on his own. He calls all his cousins on the mobile phone. And all his cousins come. Close the door to fear. Faith is the opposite to fear. Hallelujah. We're told whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the enemy would attack them, camping on their land, destroying their harvest, even as far as Gaza. So remember now, they're not in a great place with God. They're working hard. They're sowing their crops, but the enemy attacks them. He camps. Remember now, he doesn't put down foundations. He's not living there. This is just a tent. This is the temporary nature of the attack. You see, some of you are here today and you're going, this will never end. Will I ever recover my health? Will I ever fall in love again? Will I ever have a friend who gets me? Will my family ever understand me? Will I ever get a job? Will I ever pay those bills? Yes, you will. Yes, you will. Have a bit of faith this morning. Because the enemy is not creative, and we're not ignorant of his devices. And he tries and he raids. So he camps on the land, he destroys their harvest. And here we see, if you follow the news, every day you hear about Gaza. It was on the news back then as well. You know what? There is nothing new under the sun. Don't start me politically, because you're probably say he shouldn't be talking politics. So I won't. Anyway, so as far as Gaza, this is what the prophet Micah said. You will plant crops, but not harvest them. You'll press your olives, but get no oil. Press the grapes, but get no wine. He was talking to the people of God whose hearts had gone cold. People who were meant to have a relationship with the living God, and it was just dead. And they drifted away and they filled their life with something else. Now, you and I are not going to start worshipping a statue probably or whatever. But maybe your career will become your idol, your other god. Careers are important, but they're not more important than Jesus. Who'll say amen? Study is important, but it's not more important than Jesus. Relationships are important, but you shall love the Lord your God first. Yes. And then love others as yourself. Yes. But he's first. Yes. Sometimes we love people more than God. I don't care who it is, that becomes an idol. Or maybe it's a hobby, or maybe, I don't know what it is. So many things can become an idol. And then, you know what? We plant, but we don't harvest. Because we're not in the right place with God. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain to build it. In other words, unless God is with you in anything, it's not going to succeed. But if he's with you, no man or demon can stop you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care what the opposition is like. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. Then we're told it left the Israelites with nothing to eat. And the Midianites were stealing all their livestock, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare and the Israelites were reduced to starvation. If English isn't your first language, reduced means they were at the end of their rope. They were coming to the end. They were starving. I have known people who once loved God, and then their hearts grew cold to God, and they ended up, and this will be the same for me or you, they ended up starving for love, starving for peace in their heads, starving for hope, starving for purpose. When we drift from God and we don't turn around and we don't repent when we should, we end up starving, brothers and sisters. Psalm 68:6 says, God puts the lonely in families. He brings those who are bound up into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry and a barren land. You might say, I live in Ireland. It's not a dry land. Give me a break. Dry and barren is not physical. Barren, it means your life is not fruitful. Now, you might say, Cork is known as the rebel city, the rebel county. Michael was talking about the big hurling match today. Come on, the rebels. We're not talking about that kind of rebels, okay? Cork is exempt from that scripture, all right? That rebellion was about justice. It was about a foreign power occupying us, and the people here wanted independence. So that's a different kind of rebellion. This kind of rebellion is talking about a rebellion against God. Rebellion against God's ways. And if that's what we're doing, if we're fighting God, life is barren. Life is dry. But God wants you to have an abundant life. How can you and I have an abundant life? By being right with God. Hallelujah. You might go, I don't accept it. That's fine. I can't make you change your mind. But I promise you this, without fear of contradiction, you will live in a barren place because you're fighting against God. Don't fight against him. Welcome him and love him and follow him. Praise God. Here's something that a lot of people, and I used to it when I would read this over the years, but I really had to study it recently. We read something insignificant. We're told that the enemy arrived in droves of camels, too numerous to count. Again, droves just means numerous, thousands upon thousands. So they came on camels. So what? They had to come somehow. The thing is, the camel was their enemy weapon. If you look through the Bible, you can see every time the people of God were attacked by an enemy, the enemy had one advantage over them. For example, the Philistines, at the time of Saul and David, they had a culture of iron. They had iron swords and weapons. The Israelites only had wood and stones. So they had an advantage. the Midianites had a camel. If they didn't have camels to travel from the desert, travel long journeys, and you probably know camels don't need too much water for a long time. It was the crucial thing that made them successful. And this is something I want to say to everyone here, because this is true for everybody here. What are our triggers? What's your trigger? Because the enemy will study you, and he'll study me, and he'll go, ah, that's his trigger. And that's her trigger. I know, I'm just pulling stuff out of the air, not speaking to anyone. Her trigger is her mother. His trigger is the girl who works with him, and he can't stop thinking about her. He's mad to get her. That guy's trigger is money. Because he had no money growing up, and now he is a fear of poverty, and he has to have loads of money, and so he loves money. Everyone has a different trigger, and the enemy knows your trigger and my trigger, and it's like a hair trigger. He just presses it, and suddenly we're under attack. Brothers and sisters, we need to know what our triggers are. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not natural, but they are mighty through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. We must fight our battles, and we must put on the full armor of God. In my life, and I've lived a while as a Christian, I would say about 50% of the trouble I've had in life had a spiritual signature to it. Half, 50% was living in a broken world. There was a recession. I remember Denise and I both thought we were going to lose our jobs, and we had a mortgage to pay. That wasn't spiritual. That was just a difficult time we were in, because we live in a broken world. But 50% of the time, I know the enemy had his fingerprint on the attack. And when I know that, I have to approach it differently. I'm not going to be like a jelly baby and hide in a cave. So get behind me, Satan. I am a child of God. Are you? Are you? Because if you are, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. And you can fight the good fight. If you're a child of God, stand where you are and make a declaration. You don't have to say anything. Go on. If you're a child of God, stand. If you're a visitor, please don't feel under any pressure. We're not trying to out anyone here. Okay, I think that's nearly everyone. Would you do one favor for me? Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. You're a child of God. You're not meant to be in a cave. Fight the good fight. Hallelujah. Know your trigger. You're not going to get me, Satan. You see, he's not creative. He keeps doing the same old trick. Boring. Boring. He'll always try the same. All right, that girl who's got a lovely figure, you're going to try that on me again? No, you're not. I'm going to look away. Hallelujah. Okay, that wasn't a load of men, but let's take our seats. Thank you, guys. What is your trigger? Here's a couple of ideas. Sometimes it's confidence. Maybe the way we grow up, we don't have great confidence, and someone says something unkind to us, and we're on the floor. You are beautiful. Why? Because God has made you in his image.
Amen.
The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just because some nutcase on Instagram doesn't look like you, are you really going to give up because of that? It's what God thinks of you is what's important. And he will raise up, if you're looking for someone to love you, he'll raise up the right man or the right woman for you. And they're not going to be some shallow sugar looking at some selfie on Instagram. It's a man with a heart after God's own heart. It's a woman who loves the Lord. We are called to live a different life. We are an alternative community, because we don't buy into the lie in the culture. There is something more wonderful than what this world has to offer. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Confidence could be the issue. financial, sexual, could be a substance, someone struggling with alcohol or drug abuse or gambling. Know your trigger. It could be a person. You could be the most confident person in the world and someone walks into the room and gives you a dirty look and it attacks. You know what? Don't accept the attack.
Yeah.
Say, my confidence is in Jesus.
Amen.
It could be your health because you were sick once and you got a big fright and it might still be a shadow you carry in your soul. Have faith that God has a better future for you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Kill the camel! The weapon, the trigger for them was the camel. Now, someone might say, oh, camels are human too. No, they're not. I'm not asking anyone to go down to Photo Wildlife Park with your air gun, Michael has an air gun, for you to say it, and try and kill a camel. I'm speaking symbolically or metaphorically. Know what your trigger is. The enemy has an advantage, but only if you allow him to. Know your enemy and know his trigger and reject it in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. There are thousands of people all over this city who can give you a living, genuine, humble testimony and say, I was weak once in this area, but now I'm strong.
Amen.
Satan will not attack me that way again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All of this trouble is going on. And then we read the word then in verse 6. Then the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord for help. Praise God. It's great to cry out to the Lord for help. The problem is, brothers, sisters, why didn't they do it at the beginning?
Yeah.
Number one, the first port of call for the man or woman of faith is prayer.
Yeah.
Call on the Lord for help.
Yeah.
But for these guys, it was their last resort. So they go through all the trouble, all the starvation, all your heartaches, all your lonely nights, all the dark nights of the soul. All you despairing, pray and call out to the Lord at the beginning and spare yourself the trouble. Because he gives us life and life in abundance if we invite him in. And straight away things started to change. I like what the American author Kay Packer says. Repentance is the key to unlock the prison from the inside. You hold and we hold that key in our hands. It's ours to use. Don't be waiting for the government to help you. You have the key and I have the key. It's not the government. It's not the city council. It's not your employer. It's not the social welfare. It's not the school. It's you. It's me. It begins spiritually. If we need to change, turn the key inside. Say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't do that. I did do that. I'm sorry, God. Will you help me? And he will help you.
Yeah.
And he will deliver you.
Yeah.
I'm particularly fired up because last weekend I had about 7 or 8 prayers. I wrote them in my prayer journal and God answered every one of them this week. Every single one he answered this week. So I'm not just coming out with a philosophy here, and I'm speaking of 44 years I'm born again. I was born again in 1980 here in the city. And 44 years later I can declare God is good.
Amen.
All the time. To the people who love him, he's good. He's good. So turn that key and don't be too proud. If we're too proud to say sorry to God, you know what? Pride comes before the fall. But he gives grace. He gives favor to the humble. Let's humble our hearts. Let's not be proud and hard. That's why I asked you to pray for your mind as I did and pray for your heart, that we wouldn't have a closed mind and a cold heart, because that's pride. That's pride. Forget about me, I'm nothing. You want to forget about this church, grand. Don't forget about Jesus. He is the way. How about we do that again? Jesus is
the way, the truth, and the life.
How about we do it with a loud voice? One more time. Jesus Christ is
the way, the truth, and the life.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Straight away, God moves. They humble their hearts, they cry on God, and God sends a prophet. We're not told his name, because personalities don't matter. Brothers, sisters, in the Christian church, in the Christian world, don't get into celebrities. There's no celebrity. Celebrity is Jesus. Oh, I follow pastor this and bishop that. Praise God for good ministry. But Jesus is the celebrity. We don't need celebrities. We need Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Straight away. This is what the prophet said. I told you not to worship the small g, gods of the land, but you would not listen. You wouldn't listen. See, God is always trying to talk to us. What did Jesus say? My sheep hear my voice. You might say, and me and you. It's just we don't listen because our lives are full of noise, especially today. God will speak through circumstance, through open and closed doors. As we read the Bible, if we read the Bible, if we listen to it, if you're not into reading, it'll come alive. He'll speak through other Christians who'll say something that feeds you, that's encouraging to you. He'll speak to you through a deep peace in your heart. And we sang it earlier at the Half Past Nine meeting this morning. And we talk about, was it anyway, one of the meetings, chaos all around, and you're okay. Because you haven't got chaos. You've got peace in the midst of chaos.
Hallelujah.
Because you're connected to Jesus. Hallelujah. They wouldn't listen, but you are. Hallelujah. I hope I am. You see, the problem is never the problem. The issue is never the issue. The problem was Israel. It wasn't really Midian, the enemy. The problem is that the people of God let their hearts grow cold. That was the issue. And God is trying to talk to them and call them back to himself. Why? Because he's a jealous God. If you've ever been in a relationship with someone who gets jealous, take out the crap and all the rubbish out of that and multiply that in goodness. And that is the jealousy God has for us. Why were we created the first day? It says at the beginning, God said, let us create man in our image that we may have community with him. So God's heart is to connect with you. Me, I'm only. Yes, you. There's no only. God loves every human being, and he wants every human being to connect with him, including you and including me. So the problem was Israel. But now Israel, or the Israelites, have turned to God. They've turned the car around. It's like you're driving to Dublin and you go, why am I going to Dublin when the sun is in Cork? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you're up in County Offaly and you go in and you go, I am not going to Dublin. I am turning around and going to Cork. Or you're getting the plane over to London and you're saying, what am I going to the United Kingdom for? Let's get the plane back to Cork. You turn around. You don't go in the direction you were going. And God continues to move. The prophet comes out of the scene, and then something wonderful happens as I come to the last section. We're told in verse 12, the first part of it, shortly after this, the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, who was threshing wheat in a winepress. So this is all very fast. I saw this week, literally, I had 3 answered prayers within 5 minutes. One was an email, one was a physical letter, and the other one was a text. 5 minutes last Tuesday. 5 minutes. Shortly after the prophet spoke to the people. We're told the angel of the Lord appeared. Don't have time to go into it now, but the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus, okay? This is the second person of the Trinity, of the Godhead, who appeared. He's not just an angel. This angel accepted adoration, so we know it was Jesus. If you want to know more about it, talk to me afterwards. I'll send you on the scriptures. So Jesus comes into the house. Now Jesus is here. He didn't appear before this. You see, repentance comes before hesitation. Repentance comes before deliverance. So often, repentance comes before healing. Healing of minds. Healing mental health. God is saying to someone, you're harming yourself. Self-harm. God is saying, I'm going to heal you. But you need to repent. Turn from the way you've been going. You will never harm yourself again if you genuinely do that today. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
So Jesus appears, and who's this guy Gideon? I don't have time to go into it, but we do know he came from the tribe of Manasseh, which wasn't a great tribe. But you know why? Because they were half a tribe. It was the half tribe of Manasseh. It wasn't even a full tribe. And his clan within the tribe, we learn later on, was the weakest clan. And he was the least one of all his brothers. In the Irish language, which I speak a lot, we would refer to him as the Ichter. The Ichter. Who can say Ichter?
Ichter.
Ah, go on. Give it a go.
Ichter.
One, two, three. Look. Ichter. One, two, three.
Ichter.
Ichter, the English word, is the runt of the litter. The smallest, the weakest, the last in the queue, the one you wouldn't even think. And he's the guy that Jesus wants to use here. Why? He was threshing wheat in the winepress. You see, you shouldn't really thresh wheat. Thresh means to get separate the grain from the chaff. You need to do that in the open air, in a flat, hard surface. That's how they did. They whacked the wheat, and the chaff blew away in the wind, and you were left with the grain of the kernel of the grain. But the wine presses were in pits, in holes. It was very difficult to thresh wheat. You know what Gideon was doing? He was thinking outside the box. He was afraid, on one level, of the enemy stealing his wheat. But he was doing what he could with what he had where he was. He was doing what he could with what he had where he was in very difficult circumstances. God is looking down at a man in this congregation today, and he's looking at you and he's saying, I know how hard it is. I know how difficult it is, but you are doing what you can with what you have where you're at. And that's all God wants to see. When you are repentant and this is what you're reduced to, Jesus Christ will come into your situation. He'll come into your house. But this is no place for the man or woman of God. He's not meant to be underground. It's a bit like the cave thing. But he was doing the best he could. And Jesus saw that in him. And then Jesus is about to raise this guy up. Why? Because he says, last verse, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Me? I'm an Ichter. I'm a runt of the litter. I'm nothing. No, mighty hero. God is going to say to many here, you're going to be a mighty hero. Why? Because you're going to repent. You're going to say, I'm not putting myself first. I'm going to put Jesus first. Have you ever heard of the joy principle? You will have joy in your life. J-O-Y. Put Jesus first. J. Others second. O. And Y. Yourself last. You want joy in your life? Put yourself last. You know why? Because the last will be first. You are called to live in an upside down kingdom. And the rules out there don't apply in the kingdom of God. But when you get that right, it'll last forever into eternity. That's why we are the happiest people on earth. Because we put Jesus first. We love one another. And then ourselves, we put ourselves last and we find that we are more blessed. I said at the 10 o'clock service, Denise, my beloved wife, and we're married for 42 years, is my number two. Because Jesus is my number one. Some people are going, that's shocking. No, it's not. It's the right order. I love my wife more than any other man who mightn't know Jesus. You know why? Because when you love Jesus, he gives you even more love for those who are important to you. Put Jesus first. So he's a mighty hero. Brothers and sisters, here's what I close with. it's time to stand up against the enemy and repent and turn to God. There's no more hiding in caves. We need to come up from the winepress because God's hand has reached out to you. I'm going to give those for whom this is new the opportunity to invite Jesus into your life in just a moment. And I'm going to call on many here, if it's you, that you're saying, you know what, God, today I'm not going to hide in the cave anymore. I'm not going to try and do the work down in a hole in the ground. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to say, by God's power, I am able to do mighty things because my heart is humble before Him. We're going to sing a beautiful song called I Need You, Lord. Every hour I need you. Will we stand? The words are powerful. Let's sing it as a prayer, and then we're going to pray before we close. Steve.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Sing, Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. You're my morning defense, my righteousness. Oh, God,
sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. When I repented, and every time I still repent when I need to, God's angels rejoice. So I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes in privacy, on and off stage. All I can see are shadows with the lights in my eyes. If you want to invite Jesus into your life, maybe it's the first time ever, in just a moment I'm going to give the opportunity in total privacy to lift up your hand. Maybe you've drifted away from God and you want to come back to Him. I'm going to include you in it. So whether it's the first time or you're coming back to the Lord, we're going to just pray all together in a moment. But you need to own it. And you need to just say it to God. So if that's you, will you raise your hand just for a few moments so I can see I'm not talking into the air. I see your hands, I see yours, and yours down the back, and yours, and yours, and yours. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We have 12 apostles, hallelujah. I'm going to say a prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone to do it in solidarity with these 12 guys, but the 12 of you really have to do it as well, okay? Are we up for saying the prayer?
Yes.
God is looking, God is listening, God is feeling. where we're at.
Yes.
So if you could repeat after me, Lord Jesus Christ,
Lord Jesus Christ,
I invite you into my life. Be my leader,
my Savior,
my friend.
I repent.
I turn from my own way.
I want to go your way.
You are the driver.
You are the Lord.
You are the Savior.
I surrender to you.
Forgive me my sin.
And I will follow you
all the days of my life.
No turning back.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Let's give an outrageous applause to the 12 apostles. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. If you haven't seen it before, we'd love to give you a free book which tells you about the next steps to take. I promise you this, God will bless your life as you follow him. And whatever you hope for your future, he's got even better for you. Praise God. I want to speak a word of hope here. Some of us here today are going to say, God, I've been too afraid, I'm coming out of the cave. For more of us, we're going to go, I know I need to kill the trigger so the enemy doesn't attack me in this way again. And others know God is calling you to deeper things. He's going to use you like Gideon, and you're going to come out of the winepress. If any of those are true for you, and you're saying, I know this is a new season in my life, and I am going to be right with God so he can bless me, would you lift up your hand? And you got to own it, and you got to have courage, and you got to say, here I am, Lord, I'm not going to hide, here I am. We're going to sing the song again, and I'm going to invite every one of you to stand at the top, because Mike and Elma and myself, we're going to pray a blessing over you so that you will be blessed as you make this decision. Steve, let's come to the top if you put up your hand.
Lord, I need you.
Hands to the living God. He's watching. He's looking into your heart and your soul and mine. Mike and Elma, any other of the senior team, just move around. We're going to try and lay hands on each one of you. I pray, God, that a supernatural courage would come into every heart here. I pray, God, as we humble ourselves before you and leaving our seat and standing up here in front of hundreds of others is very humbling. We pray now, O God, that the wind of the Holy Spirit would blow through every soul here, and a courage that has never been seen before would grip your heart, and that you would come out of the cave, that you would come out of the wine press, and that you would kill the camel in your life, and that you would not say, I am not able, because God says you are able, because I am with you, I am for you, and I am not against you. And you are like the midwives of ancient Egypt, the Hebrew midwives, when the most powerful man in the world, Muna, told them to kill the child. they would not kill the baby Moses, but instead they delivered him. And God would say, their incredible courage is like oil being poured upon your head. Michael, can you get the bottle of oil from behind the on the shelf there? I need to pour oil on your head, Mona. This is a symbolic act. Is that okay to do, my love? Okay, praise God. Are we all ready? Cameron, could you hold the microphone for me? Praise God. Mona, I'm going to pour it and pour it and pour it. It's pouring down your face. You're saturated in the oil. And God is saying, he's giving you a courage, sister. He's raising you up. And all the lie of the powerful people will be as nothing in your soul, because God has anointed you. And the anointing breaks the yoke. Declare the broken yoke in your life, because it is Satan stealing your future. Mona, you are set free in Jesus' name, because the anointing has broken that ancient yoke in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who here knows? I know. Who here knows the camel that the enemy rides into our lives now? If you know your trigger, would you lift up your hand? Maybe you don't, but if you do, let's give that trigger over to God. God, whether it's a fear, whatever is going on, we pray now, Lord Jesus, that you would kill this trigger in our lives. God, we put it on the altar, and we pray you would dive the sword through it, and you would kill the trigger that can destroy our future. I pray you would kill fear. Who'll say amen? I pray you would kill a financial situation that disturbs us. I pray you would kill an unhealthy hold a person has over our lives. Whatever it is, oh God, sexual, anything that is like an addiction, we pray it would be slaughtered in Grace Christian Church right now. It is 1 o'clock in the year of our Lord, Sunday. What day is it? 19th of May. Slaughter the trigger and set your brothers, our brothers and sisters, your sons and daughters free in Jesus' name. God is calling people here, and I declare it. He's calling you to greater things. He's calling you to ministry. I don't know, is it evangelism? I'm not sure what it is. It could be all kinds. But you have been trying to do your best down under. And God is saying, it's time to come up. Mighty hero. Mighty hero. You know what Gideon did? He questioned. I'm going to say it like an Irishman. He said, I'm the Ichter. God said, no, you're not. You're the hero. And God used him wonderfully. So if we're ready to pray that prayer, up here or down there, I'm going to ask you to lift both your hands to heaven. And you're going to say, here I am, God. You can use me. I want to be like Gideon. I got nothing in many ways, but I know if you're with me, I can do wonderful things. So with a humble heart, here I am, Lord. And here we say, God, would you take us out of the pit and the ground? Thank you that we've been doing the best we can. But this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year when the debt is paid. And we say, Lord, we come out from underground. Will you use us? Will you show us the way? We'll put a fleece before you, but God, here we are with a humble heart. And we say, use me, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to repeat those words if you're brave enough. Do not say it out loud if you're not willing to be courageous, because that's a game. But But if you're willing to do it, up here, down there, say, use me, Jesus. And we don't want anyone to use us, but we do want Jesus to use us. Amen. So at the count of three, if that's you, let's say it together. One, two, three. Use me, Jesus. How about we confirm it one more time? One, two, three. Use me,
Jesus.
Three is the number of completeness. One last time. One, two, three.
Use me, Jesus.
And I pray release. And I pray wind. And I pray fire. And I pray courage. And I pray hope. And I pray healing. And I pray deliverance. And I pray provision. And I pray open doors in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And God's people said.